interesting hours on web radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on music, scripture, community, and world issues. We're being broadcast from the awesome Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. If you would like to see our show live, go to skidrowstudios.com and hit live video. And now, our show.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Denise Boyd.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. Tonight, we had lovely Shante Marie Duncan and Denise Boyd co-hosting. Lovely as well. Got something to get off my chest, and it's about the white girl who turned black, and I'm not sure what her name is. What is her name, Shante?
Rachel. I don't know her last name, or how to pronounce her last name. Starts with a D.
Oh, okay. But
Rachel's her name.
I was just looking at CNN, and it was just really, really, I mean, they're hypocrites. The way they're badgering this poor girl.
Well, not just CNN, a lot of news outlets are.
Oh, okay. The thing I was watching was CNN, and they had their top dog people, and I mean, I don't know their names, and this one black lady analyzing this and saying that she's a liar, and everybody's saying she's a liar, and she's told lies, and she's just using being black when it's what?
Appropriation.
Just using a lesser race's.
You're taking from that culture without their permission.
Yeah, so.
For your advantage, either financially or just because you like certain aspects of it, but you're not really invested in that culture.
So you have to get. So who do you go to? Who do you go to get permission?
Yeah, I don't know.
Obama?
No, I don't think so. But
I know, but who?
It's just like exploiting a culture. It's so just
I'm looking at this stuff, and I mean the lady's reputable. She works. She what was her position in NAACP?
She was like a chapter leader or president of one of the
chapters. So I mean, you can't.
And she's saying she has two adopted sons that are black, and she went just from a young age. She
wanted to be black.
Yeah, well, and she just invested in the culture, just felt like she connected with black community.
And she looks good black, doesn't she?
Well, she went to like Howard University, which is a black college, and her parents adopted black kids that she was raised with black adopted siblings.
So she knows how to dance.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Anyway, but what's on my chest is you got all these homosexuals and transgenders and they're doing all this ridiculous crap. And, I mean, they're allowing a man to go into a woman's locker room at the gym because he thinks he's a woman. And what's said about it? It's accepted or whatever. And then you got this lady that she's, in my opinion, she might be mixed up. I don't know. But she's doing it. She's jamming. And you got all these people that are nitpicking at her, and in my opinion, leave the woman alone. Let her. I mean, she's in my opinion, she's not hurting anybody. In my opinion, she's trying to find herself. She's doing things. She's not complaining about anything. And I mean, I don't know the full story, but you guys are hypocrites that are speaking out against this woman and calling her names and being vicious against her. In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what some of people are saying from what I've heard is that you don't understand what it's like to be black because you have the opportunity at any given time to go back to being white.
I know, but she's black. You can have that, but she's not saying she's white. And she hasn't admitted to being white even. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, she says, she says, just because those parents are on my birth certificate, it doesn't make them my parents. Well, you know, you see the picture of her when she was in elementary school and those type of things. She looks white. But the whole part that I see is if that's what she chooses to identify with, and it's not like she's, white one day, black the next day, whatever.
Right, right.
So she's had to face discrimination, and she chose to take the hard road versus taking the easier road because, as we all know, there's a lot of discrimination that still goes on.
And she can still have children. I mean, I don't know why she adopted.
I don't know if she's married because they never mentioned.
I think she's divorced.
Yeah, I never heard anything about being married. Just says she adopted.
I don't know if she can have kids or why she wouldn't have. Because if she had a baby by a black man, then she would have a little. She would have little black babies. Because we all know if you got one little ounce of black in you, you know what you are.
Ounce of black.
And then she's identified with this a black man that she identifies with as being her father. You know, mm-hmm. He may not be her biological father, but that's who she identifies with.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't know the whole history of how her relationship with their parents are or anything. But there is a black man that she identifies and calls her dad.
Well, I think that this woman is normal. And I think I've seen a lot worse case scenarios, but she can have children and she can have life. You know, there's life.
Well, I mean, she might have adopted two kids to take them out of the foster care system. You don't know.
Uh-huh.
She did that as opposed to having her own kids.
Well, I haven't heard, you know, her being an abusive mother, or she's not been in the news for anything like that. So I think that she's probably pretty normal.
Well, she has a lot of acrimons of what she's done with the NAACP. And so to me, I think both the NAACP and the public are doing her wrong because, you know.
But why is this just coming out now?
Well, they said her mom and dad want her
to quit living this double life.
A lie that she's white and she should own up to being white and be proud of being white.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that she's not proud of it, but maybe she just likes being black more. Mm-hmm. She's not. I don't hear her talking down about white people. I mean, have you heard her say anything bad about anybody white?
I think he said she still sounds like white when she talks.
Oh, she's, in my opinion, I heard her talk, she sounds really white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say how white she sounds, but she sounds really, really super white. But in my opinion, she looks good as a black woman. And, you know, she's rocking it and she's living life and she's accomplishing things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, she didn't take the easy road because the easy road in life would have been
black people want to hate because they're sitting around not forgiving anybody and pointing their fingers and trying to act like being black is theirs, black music is theirs, and all this crap. You know, if you're white, don't sing black music because it's ours. And
mm-hmm.
That whole crap, it's crap. If you think it's yours, it's not yours. It is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think it's yours like that, you lose it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So let people celebrate the way they want to celebrate.
I mean, they bring up how it originated with us, either rock or blues. But I mean, I don't understand why you close it off. Like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of like if white people are successful at it, then their motives are wrong. Or
right. You know. Or you didn't struggle.
Yeah.
Therefore, how are you successful because you didn't struggle?
Mm-hmm.
Why? How come I'm not successful and I struggled?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and a lot of, especially in musicians and stuff, it doesn't matter whether you're white or black, most musicians struggled right from the get-go coming on up. That's not an easy field to get into a profession. I mean, you're jumping from one small gig to the next small gig, you know, so you're in a different city every day. You're not sleeping at home.
Well, they say white artists are able to appeal to certain audiences easier, like Elvis
that was a different time and age as
mm-hmm.
well. But I think that there's a lot of truth to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But is that the artist's fault that, you know, like that the
Hiatus Coyote.
What is the lead singer?
Napalm.
Yeah, Napalm. When we saw her, that girl just got soul, and she's Australian, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The girl just got soul. She got a big booty and she got soul. And she dances and she's talented. So wherever she got it, whatever her influences were.
She's influenced by Stevie Wonder.
Okay. What is she supposed to do? Well, wait a minute. I'm Australian. I'm white.
I can't have that. I don't like that.
I can't make any money at this because black people are going to get mad at me and accuse me of not. I mean, she loves aborigines. I mean, That's got to be worth something, right?
Well, what I don't understand is why when black artists go and sing, you know,
white
country
songs.
Music or more white songs, you know, no one's going on hating on what they're doing.
Well, that's a whole nother.
I mean, it's just kind of the flip-flop.
They have some conflicts with that too.
Well, I don't know. It's just, it's all craziness. This whole planet's gone bananas, and it really has. And speaking of that, we're going to switch gears to the church massacre. And I'll let Denise, you did a little research on the young man first, and then we'll just kind of chime in on you.
Yeah, the Dylan Roof. Looking at some of the things that I was reading up on, they were saying until the last 5 years that the kid was pretty much just a run-of-a-mill type of kid. And something triggered him, whether he was, in Willis's opinion, he's kind of been brainwashed by some things. But when I was looking at some of the reports they had out, in South Carolina, the state has, or the city of Charlotte has really kind of changed over. It used to be half black, half white, and now it's two-thirds white. So the blacks have kind of moved either out of that city or out of the South Carolina part or whatever, but it's not the same makeup as it was.
Is it clear what reason is
behind
it?
No, it didn't say what reason it was, but what that, and that this has been in the last 30 years. Well, the kid was only 21 years old, so all he's seeing is more and more white people moving into that area.
So why would that make him want to kill black people if black people are leaving and white people are coming in? Is he just...
Yeah, because he was saying something along the lines of you're raping our women and you're taking over our country.
That's just old KKK.
That's what I'm saying, but if they're moving out, is he saying just that we're dominating too much? Or, I mean, what's he getting at from...
That's what they can't understand, really, what he's getting at, the reason. And that church used to be in a predominantly black neighborhood. That church now sits, and it's one of the oldest churches in South Carolina, sits in a predominantly white area. And that's probably why when he could easily have access, it isn't like he had to drive a great distance to get there and stuff. He probably was raised in that area.
Well, didn't they say that's like 9 miles from some other shooting or something that happened?
Oh, I don't know about that.
One of the things
they were saying also in there was that what he was saying in his manifesto and stuff is that there's no KKK down here, you know, in this area here.
That's a lie.
Well,
go ahead.
That's just what he's saying. That's what he wrote and stuff. Nobody's doing anything except for what they're doing on the social media. So that must be, you know, what he's reading. He says, so I'm going to take care of this problem, you know. And the problem being? He just doesn't like black people. And yet he had a best friend that was saying, I don't know where he went wrong. A childhood kid that he went to school with and grew up with, that's half black. Mm-hmm. And they were very good friends.
Well, they said his half black friend was saying a bunch of crazy stuff that he didn't think his friend was racist. And I don't know about that. What he was saying, everything he was saying, but they said his roommate was saying that he was racist and that he was going to try and start a civil war and then kill himself. So
yeah,
he made that known to him before it even happened.
Well, that's what they're saying. In the last 5 years, this kid has just basically changed from what he was.
I see the kid, and when I look at him, I see someone that's brainwashed. I see someone that somebody has coerced into doing their bidding. I believe that he was supposed to kill himself, but he didn't have the heart to do it because... it wasn't his idea, okay? I think if it was his idea, then he would have done it, but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's probably part of a bigger group.
Yeah,
I don't think he's acting alone.
Yeah, I believe with all my heart that they are going to find out that they're going to get out of him where, you know, who put him up to do.
Well, I was reading the perspective was why weren't they calling it domestic terrorism?
Why weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a hate crime.
Yeah, but they were saying they were calling that because he's white.
Oh.
That they show pictures of him when he was a kid, and they call him a kid, and he's not an adult, and they paint this picture of him.
Being innocent.
Like he was a loner, and he was soft-spoken, and they were saying all this stuff like a couple hours after he shot up the place, and it was on the news. But they say when the person is black that they talk about them differently, though.
Well, I mean, that's...
put them in a more negative
sense. I've never heard anything called a domestic terrorism or something, black, white, or whatever, unless it's like the bombing that went on at the Boston bombing.
Yeah, they're saying it for Muslims or other races, they call it a
terrorism.
Certain thing. Yeah, uh-huh. But when it's white, it's just...
But I
he
think
was it, misguided or he was disturbed or mentally ill. They were calling him that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pretty...
But he made
less than 24 hours after it happened, they were calling him mentally ill.
He made it very clear in his manifesto. It was a racial...
Yeah, well, I was telling you at Fox News, though, the guy was saying, and I don't know if they're paid to be that stupid, because they say a lot of stupid things on that that show.
Well, it must be, because you don't throw that stupid word around.
I know,
lightly.
But if you listen to a lot of the things that they say, it's really ridiculous, and they just sit around, and they don't make a lot of sense in stuff that they say, and people criticize them a lot, but they had a pastor that was saying that he didn't think it was racist, and black people are so quick to blame it on race, and maybe it was because a lot of people are critical of Christians now, and maybe it was that, because he didn't go to a bar or a basketball court, he went to a church. You can read it on Democracy Now, but he was saying that he didn't think it was racist. Fox News guy's like, you brought up a great point, you know, maybe there's more to it this than race, and I don't know, it's just ridiculous.
That person's
you
just,
think they might be trying to squelch a race riot. Maybe they're trying to throw it off of race.
I mean,
because
it was,
I know it's obvious because the kid even says.
Yeah.
I mean, when has the media ever tried to discourage anything that comes on race? They almost encourage that because that,
I know,
that
but
promotes
maybe
their
they're
news.
Trying to see, well, you know what?
Well, some
bad things
are
going to happen
news station,
because of this.
Yeah, that was the only news one that I saw where they were bringing up that perspective that it was anti-Christian and not
race.
But they don't even know that because they don't even know for sure if he hasn't said one way or another whether he's Christian or not Christian.
Yeah,
what
Fox
his
News
are.
Is like conservative. So yeah. I don't know if they just think a certain way or something like that, but I just couldn't believe that.
You're right, Shante.
Entertain that idea.
Well,
that was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, though, what they're trying to do is I think they're probably highly intelligent people, and they're trying to take the attention away from race because they foresee a hatred, like the kids say, a civil war or race.
Well,
race
there's
riots.
Already been like Confederate flag burnings and doing like graffiti stuff on those different statues that promote the Confederacy and all that going on.
Yeah, so, I know, but that's what I'm saying is that
it's getting
that
serious.
This kid, he's like, and it's been the, I guess, it's always been that they want to start a race war and kill black people and black people. I don't know. I don't think black people necessarily want to start a race war. I don't
know. They just want racism to stop.
If they didn't want to start a race war, then why don't they just say a Christian church? Why do they keep saying the oldest black Christian church in, South Carolina? And then, so they keep throwing in, it's not just a church, it's a black church,
So to me,
it's like if you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, we don't want to call it this, but yet we're going to. You're differentiating it by saying
blacks
what the church
want
is.
To make it known that it's
well, no,
racism.
I meant I'm talking about the news media.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The thing
yeah.
is, if you hear then when they did the arraignment of the kid, and I call him a kid because he's 21, but to me he's still a kid. He's young, dumb, and stupid. In my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But they had representatives of the family of the people that were killed, and they asked them did they want to say anything. And almost every one of the ones that I heard said, I'm not going to be able to hold my loved one or be with my loved one anymore. But in Jesus Christ, I forgive you. And that's where you need to turn to for, and repent. And for your strength is to turn to Jesus Christ. So to me, the people, because it was all church people, the people at the church are standing on their beliefs. And that's hard to do when your mom or your father's been shot. And killed, and the first thing you want to do is lash out, no matter who it was that killed him, whether it was a robber or just a kid that's going off on something. But they're basically standing to what their beliefs are. You know, I'll forgive you.
That seems pretty cool. I mean, I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah. I heard them on when they were doing the arraignment. I heard each one. The one lady, her mom
really
was
powerful.
The one that it was. And then the next man came up and said the same thing about, I think it was his brother or something like that was shot. And they had someone, and the judge was saying, who's here present for? And they would say, and that person would stand up and say, and they had the kid in another room.
But it doesn't amount to anything. It's like, I didn't even watch it, but I see the same old black people in the same old black traditions.
These weren't
know.
Old.
What do you mean?
These weren't old people.
I mean,
these were younger generations.
I mean, I
speaking.
Saw them in the church, and I just was, you know, very busy today, so I just kind of glanced at it, and they had them in a big church, and
that is
you have
church.
The black... You know, that whole thing, that gospel or not gospel,
well,
but Southern Baptist.
It's Southern Baptist Church.
Thing that.
So what you mean it doesn't amount to anything?
It's the same old thing.
That was their service for
I
the
mean,
day.
But that's what, you know, it's like.
But that's the same type of sermon you'd preach if people would have been shot or not shot. That's the same.
Yeah, I know, but it's
you just
like
don't
the
like that
same
type of service.
Old thing. It's the but same this, old this word.
Are you saying the church they're teaching or the way that they're teaching doesn't amount to anything?
I'm saying that people are still dying and people are still being killed and people are still, you know, and like there are traditions, you know, it's traditional for them to do that Southern Baptist thing. And it's traditional for the KKK to stop.
But that isn't even a Southern Baptist church. That's something or other, how, you know, I can't pronounce the word.
That's a smelly religion.
But, you know, even the guy that the pastor that was killed and the senator, he actually came from a Lutheran seminary, and which is kind of way different from, you know, Baptist. If you know Southern Baptist and you know Lutheran, they don't have a lot of the same beliefs and traditions. I mean, they're different. I mean, Lutherans are a break off from the Catholic Church, so they follow, to me, more of kind of the Catholic tradition, whereas Southern Baptist, you know, follows more of the, like, Protestant or whatever, you know, type
of
traditions and stuff.
But I guess what I'm saying is Baltimore, you know, there's somebody black's dying, and then they go to that black church, and they have that same look, they're talking that same stuff, and that whole thing. And it's like, I just get tired of seeing it. I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of seeing the way that they're preaching?
I guess that. They're saying the same words. It's all the same. And nothing's being done. You know?
So you're saying in terms of everything's going on, everyone's just saying the same thing about the issue, but nothing's being done.
Nothing's being done because they'll take it and they'll turn it around, like you say, the media. And they'll say this kid is this and that and this and that. Like I was kidding you about the police, you know, kind of treating him gently.
Well, that's
the
people were getting at when they were letting him out the house. And
that whole thing.
Him, you know,
and then when, once he gets
vest on.
Once he gets down to the police department, they turn the cameras off and they're giving him high fives, you know. Great job, man. You got nine of them and only one of us is going down.
But you know what was, what tells you also is, he just, you know, the cop pulls him on over and basically he just gets out the car. He just says, yeah, I did it. Just take
he doesn't
to
want
to
die.
Yeah, that's what, you know, tells you and stuff. There was no resisting arrest. There was no words really exchanged. He answered their questions, stuck him in the car and off he went.
Mm-hmm.
But you were saying about how, you know, everybody's saying the same old thing. President Obama then commented about this is happening too many times and we keep doing the same thing over and over. Something has to change.
Yeah, well, people are saying gun control, which I don't see how that would
I don't
fix
see
that.
How
that's
either.
Not gonna
it's dumb.
Gun control is not going to fix racism.
It's not going to fix racism and it's not going to fix bad people getting guns
because,
either.
Because it's just like during prohibition when they didn't have, you know, alcohol. That's when people flourished and that's when a lot of them got to be
billionaires
and stuff because they knew how to run the alcohol and there was more alcohol probably out then.
Yeah, the speakeasies were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean that is
gun control, it's not gonna solve anything, but in my opinion, the politicians and the DAs, district DAs and those people that are...
I don't know if people are trying to get, like, the Confederate flag to be taken out.
I don't think that's right either, though. I don't think... I think those people have the same right to fly their flags, just like we do. It's just when you start killing people or you start hurting people, then those people need to be put to death or they need to be thrown under the penitentiary. Not just, you know, all these, I can't think of the word right now, but when you go to jail and you have a difference or...
Oh, well, they put you in
Not that. There's a word I'm saying that they're like contesting the judgment.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But what I'm saying is, it's the same with the cops. You know, you were telling me about police just shot and killed a guy that was waving a towel or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still in critical condition or not, but they shot him in the head, but he was waving.
He had his arm wrapped around.
Yeah, but he was waving his hand. He was asking for help. And they told him to drop his weapon. And said moments later, witnesses heard like four shots.
And this is a white guy.
In the head. Yeah, he was white. Yeah. And that they still put handcuffs on him.
He had problems.
He was
stuff.
Bleeding from his head and they still put handcuffs on him.
And they don't know what was. They were saying, put your weapons down and basically get down.
He didn't have a weapon.
I know, but he had a
his arm was in a towel. And
a
was
towel
waving.
And they couldn't see what was in his arm.
So he just said police, like he needed help.
Someone had called to go over there for the site because they seen blood and, you know, something on there.
Okay, my point is...
But they believed he had a weapon. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. My point is, fry them. Take them and fry them. And then you won't make those mistakes anymore. These cops are killing people, innocent people, because they believe something. And then because they believe something, then you had a right to act with deadly force. Okay? So... Take them and fry them. I mean, fry them. And then once they see that they're not getting any special treatment or they can't turn the facts around or manipulate this person or that person or the media manipulates or people high up manipulating other people. Once you take all that crap out and just say, there's a procedure. Did you follow it? No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Fry them.
Yeah, you're saying the same thing with the lady in Baltimore.
Yeah, fry them. Mm-hmm. And I bet you that the unarmed shootings will go down. All the shootings will go down.
Well, the thing that makes no sense is he's out in the open. It's not like he was in a car, he was in a building and stuff. He's out in the open, and you got how many cops and one guy standing out there.
And then Shante was saying, they're saying that
suicide by cop.
Yeah. Okay. When I hear that Shante told me that, then it changed my whole thing.
Because they were saying they were trying to look at all the angles and see why he was asking for help or what he needed or something like that. But they was taking into account that
he wanted to die by a cop's hand. So it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense to me now. Maybe he was waving the gun or pointing it at him like he had a weapon in it, but that's
not...
It was
a white towel. So.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, you know, he's out in the open. Why can't you got a ton of guys. Why can't a couple of them get behind him and you can't overtake somebody?
Or shoot him with rubber bullets or let the dogs go on him. But if they shoot a dog,
it's on.
You know, it's like that dog is... They value that dog's life more than human life.
They do. Mm-hmm.
And they do. And that's the whole thing. I just got tapped in the ribs and said it's halftime. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I guess we're going to have a look at what's going on and where you can get it going on before shifting gears.
Okay.
The best impressions start at home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. For more information, contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly Veterans Theater workshop led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop's on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6 p.m. It's a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. The workshop has been postponed, but if you'd like more information on when it will resume, you can contact Melvin Johnson at 213-908-6567 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. Positive Light is back with the kayak.
A kayak!
If you know anything about Positive Light's history, we take the children kayaking. It's inner city kids, kids from out of the city. Everyone is invited to attend. The fundraiser will take place on August 22nd, and the kayaking trip will be on September 19th, so get ready for that. Thank you to Cheyenne, our engineer tonight.
Rocking and rolling.
Always. And if you'd like to be part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. And learn more about our organization. It's called Positive Light Ministries, and you can make a donation at positivelight.org and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. And back to our discussion.
Go ahead and shout out about your show on Thursdays.
Yes, my show, radio show Mosaic of Sound. I play neo soul, R&B, alternative, and I've been moved to Thursday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. So those of you that aren't morning people, you can tune in now. So this station is 88.9 FM. That's if you're in the Irvine area or surrounding areas. If not, you can go to kci.org and stream online.
Thank you very much, Shante Marie. Okay, we're going to get back to the topic of, I guess, you know what? It's really kind of, we've kind of been harping on this police, you know, stupidity. Oh, I'm sorry, brutality. And it's...
They were saying something about an unarmed homeless man that was shot, but that was in Venice. And I think they said they were still investigating that.
How long ago did this happen?
That was about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I haven't heard anything on the news about that. Mm-hmm. I was looking for the Las Feliz thing with the guy with the towel, that came up too.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I guess I do know what's going on, and I think the bottom of the problem is the justice system is allowing these police to go out scared and not trained in a way that is showing compassion for the people that they're supposed to be serving, mentally ill people or you know, people that are just weird. And believe me, if a person has a gun, or like the kid with the toy gun,
not Tamir Rice.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have done that differently.
Well, I think they said the judge was reviewing some other things, so I don't know if that's just a closed case. I think they're still
I mean, but in defense of the police officers
and
that
how
arrived,
the situation was handled.
Yeah, arrived there. If someone has something that resembles a gun, and they're waving it around or they're reaching for it or whatever, and an officer has to shoot that person, I can understand that. I can really get behind that and understand that. Okay? Because you don't want to hesitate and get shot. But when you have people that are not, you know, resembling that or in that area where that something is, you know, maybe they're a little wacko or something, but there's no evidence that there's a weapon, or there's no evidence that you have to use deadly force.
Mm-hmm.
Wait the situation out and see what's going to go on. Why are you so quick to use deadly force on these people that are unarmed? And then once you shoot that, like, he's shot in the head. He doesn't have a weapon. You cuff him.
Mm-hmm. But the guy on LAPD was saying that they do that all the time.
Yeah, I know, but is that right?
Yeah, I know, but he was just justifying it that they always do that.
Oh, yeah, we shoot him in the head, and then we just cuff him.
My brother telling me the kid in Utah with his, he was face down in his own blood, and he was getting head cut. So.
And he died?
No.
Oh.
He was just shot twice when I said he had his hand in his shirt, and when he put his hands up, his shirt came up too, and they shot him twice.
And he didn't have a weapon.
No, but they still handcuffed him, and he said he was face down in his own
blood. Seen that too, though, with the one guy that died in Texas, the guy that the one...
on Dallas.
Well, the one guy that he wasn't a cop. He was never trained to work in the field.
Mm. Well, he was like a
a rich person.
Yeah, he wanted to go on ride-alongs, like, right, to see what it was like and
but
stuff.
But he had a weapon and he had whatever, and he had a lot of money that he was given that sheriff department. So they therefore allowed him to do that without training, and then tried to coerce their people into lying to say that he was trained and they wouldn't do it. So I want to see what happens with that. The last I heard, he was on vacation in the Bahamas or something like that, and he was supposed to be arraigned or something when he got back. But this is the kind of thing that, you know, people are dying, and they shot this man. And I'm not saying he was an angel or a saint or anything. He was an arms dealer. So I'm pretty sure he was probably a very bad person. But they shoot him, and then they got their knee on his head, you know, telling him to shut up. And he said, "I didn't do anything." And he says, "Oh, you didn't do anything." And they're talking all bad to this man. This man died. So they're not trying to help him. They're cuffing him and got their knee on his neck and foot, you know, in his chest and this kind of thing. The man died. And see,
it was the same one where the guy was saying, you know, "Man, you shot me," or something.
And then the guy said goes, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yeah, he was saying he couldn't breathe, and he said, "F your breath." It's like there's just this mentality where it's not even like you're a human being.
So. Yeah, and don't get me wrong, because, you know, there's a lot of bad people doing a lot of bad things, and there really are. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be a cop. I really wouldn't want to be a cop. And there's a lot of bad people out there, and they got guns and they don't care. And they just don't care. And the cops have to have a certain mentality, probably just to stay alive out there. But at the same time, you're killing a lot of innocent people.
Well, I think that right now, because of so much what's going on, it comes back to, it's like shoot first and ask questions later. To me, that's a lack of training. A lack of screening out people that deserve to be police officers.
Well, it's just straight fear.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, so if you, you know, because they do a lot of psychological testing stuff. If you have that, you know, coming up in your psychological testing, you know, then you don't belong to be in the police force. You need to go do some other kind of job. But I think because now, you know, they're always saying we're hiring cops and stuff because, you know, who really wants to be a cop right now?
Well, I'm just
saying, that want to go out and be able to shoot with a license.
Everybody, everything is acceptable. Like Sean Tanner, there are no absolutes, right, anymore. Absolutely no absolutes. It's like if that person,
you're going to die and you're going to pay taxes.
Oh, well, and people are trying to get around that being an absolute. But the society today is like, well, you know, you know, he's not doing his job, but. You know.
But I think like everything that's come down, they keep the requirements keep getting laxer and laxer and laxer. Like, you know, the requirements now to graduate from high school. We're going to say now you don't have to take the exit test anymore because, you know, we're not getting enough kids in California to graduate and stuff. So we're going to do away with that. And that's not good for their, you know, their morale or their you know.
And
so we need to have more police officers. So we'll just lax, you know, the requirements a little bit. Well, instead of being where it used to be very, very tough to get into the police department, you went through a very
especially
long training program.
Especially if you were other than white.
You know? But what I'm saying is now it's like a lot easier to get into the police department. You know, the training is like half of what it used to be. You know, you don't go through the same. And the results are showing what's happening. They're scared out there. So it's, again, pull my gun, shoot, and I'll ask questions afterwards. But at least I didn't get shot. And like you said, it is tough. You know, you go on a call to a domestic violence, you don't know what you're going to walk into. You're
You don't really know what you're going to walk into anyway.
You know, you're going to go do a traffic stop. You pull someone over because, you know, they're whatever reason, you know, they ran a red light. You don't know when you walk up to that car what you're going to walk up into. So, you know, not to take anything away, that's not an easy job. And it's not for everybody. And there's too many people, I think, in there that should not be in that job.
Well, I'm just saying that there's a right way to do things. Like I was telling Shante the district attorney in Baltimore, right? They're trying to flip the script on her and say that she ordered
the gun.
Well, no, she ordered them to watch that corner because there was drugs being sold there. So they're saying
she said to crack down on
him, and they're saying we're going to take her own words and turn them against her. But she said to crack down on him, but not to do anything illegal. I mean, for her to say crack down on him, meaning I want you to arrest
or patrol the area, nickel rides,
and your methods of torture or scare tactics.
But you're saying that someone said the nickel rides are protocol.
Well, that's basically what they were saying. That, and I mean, if you look at it, they're saying we didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So if they're saying we didn't do anything wrong, then they're just saying this is this is part of what we do to get our job done.
Or the victim is doing it to themselves, or they're bumping themselves in there to make
it look like.
That's the good old boy club that you know, because that's what we've done for the last 50 years. Doesn't make it right for what you did in the last 50 years.
Yeah, so it may be attributed to cops not wanting to step outside of that, because then, you know, they have to deal with the other cops.
They got the public to deal with and the cops to deal with.
You know, act the same way that they do, or, you know, something like that.
Well, the whole thing of it is Lady Justice has to take her blindfold off, and she just has to.
You know, how does that happen?
By what I say is that, like, you get this district attorney in Baltimore, you get people like that are going to stand firm, and then judges that are going to stand firm and do the right thing.
Well, you're talking about the judge and how Lady Justice is blind. The judge that's actually presiding over on the hearing right now for the kid that just shot the people, he's already been reprimanded once in 2013 for being racist on the thing. And basically what he said, it says that he's branded as a racist sympathizer on social media and has a history of putting his foot in his mouth. And what he said was, there are four kinds of people in this world: black people, white people, rednecks, and niggers. And that was in 2013. And then he later on went and apologized. Says, oh, I was only repeating this thing that I heard an African-American lawyer say. But then, you know, he started going on about the people that were shot. And, you know, he says they're victims and stuff. And he said, well, there's other type of victims. And basically what he did was he addressed the kid's family first of saying they're victims because their son and
people were getting mad about that.
And they were upset. It was like, why are you, first off, you asked them to be in the courtroom when this was supposed to be the arraignment and you had the people that were shot. And granted, there is two sides of that and stuff, but what people are upset about is, you know, you're giving more
sympathy
to his family than you are to somebody else's that didn't do anything wrong and was shot and killed. Granted, you know, we need to be, you know, sympathetic towards because you're losing your son and this type of thing. Mm-hmm. But that was a choice that he made.
Yeah, he didn't die.
I'm sorry that he made that choice and whatever.
I didn't even hear anything about that.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. Is it openly blatant that they are really doing that?
Mm-hmm. They're saying that basically
how the judge is racist, how the media is showing the victims' families and giving just more attention to that side than
to the actual people that lost loved ones. I mean, in all essence, this kid, you know, I don't know if South Carolina has a death penalty or not.
They do.
I mean, because he's already, I mean, he flat out admitted it as soon as they arrested him. You know, he says, I waived extradition. Yeah, I did these shootings. He hasn't denied. He's already confessed to everything. But, you know, that was a conscious decision that he made to basically put himself on, you know, in the death chamber. That wasn't the people at Bible study. They went there going to church thinking they were going to go back home just like they did every Wednesday or whatever.
I thought they were doing something special for him as well. Yeah, by inviting him.
Well, and then he sat there for an hour, you know, in their Bible study and, you know, and stuff. So, you know, his family isn't a victim. They just have a tragedy to deal with. But they really aren't victims
because
it was self-inflicted upon that child's, you know, choice that he made.
Okay, I'm going to shift gears. We got just a little time left, and we know it is Father's Day. And I mean, when you talk about, you know, this kid, and this kid's dad is still alive. Mm-hmm. His mother's still alive, and I guess they had,
but the church victims have kids too. I think one of them has two daughters.
Yeah, and I'm just
don't have a father anymore.
Right. And what I'm saying is that guidance and the money that he gave him for his birthday, he went out and bought a gun with it. And did the parents know the direction that this young man was going in, or did they promote the direction that he's been going in, you know, and that whole thing? What did they do to try to sway him in another direction?
Yeah, I think the flag thing goes deeper. I think people are trying to get it taken away because it influences thoughts and influences the state of mind, whether cops are part of that.
Yeah, but I think that if you group do that,
or you know what I mean, if there's Confederate promoters in the police force, and then they're influencing that on their kids, and that's what I'm saying. More stuff like this happening because you're allowing.
Yeah, but are you going to take away the Christian flag then? Because there's Christians in the police force that are influencing that upon their kids. That's what this country was founded on, Tibet. You know, to be able to express your opinion. It's if you act upon those that's outside of the law, then that's
yeah.
Where
but I'm
a
saying
problem.
Now that someone has acted on it.
Yeah, but no, they've been acting on it for
years. They've been acting on it for years,
years.
Yeah,
like
so
you
people
say,
are
it,
saying
it
how
represents
come,
something.
Yeah, so
the
people
Nazi
are saying how
flag
come it,
represents something, and they can fly it because they're in America. And me personally, myself, more power to them. Let them fly the Nazi flag. I don't care. Think what you want. Think about me what you want. But don't put your hands on me or the ones that I love. Think of what you want. Yeah, there's good. As we know, there's God and there's the devil. Some people don't believe
people
in either.
That since that's happening, how come nothing has been done?
Done like what?
Either, taking the flag away?
They can't take the flag
away. I know, but you're saying unless somebody acts on it, then let people think what they want. But if people
persecute them to the highest thing. You put them to death. And you stop playing all the games and you say this is this. And but what they're thinking, it's like a suicide bomber. Yeah. What does he do?
But he
knows he's going to die. He believes in his cause. And I believe that this young man is promoting other young men like him to do the same. When he says all anybody's doing is talking. It's like they're so stupid to even think that way. The things that they believe in. United States of America is not white anymore. But it's never going to be that way anymore.
Mm-hmm. But I think also if you take a look for what the country stood for, with freedom that you have to say and do certain things, comes these, the flip side is when you have those freedoms, you're going to have the bad things that come back on it. You start taking away those freedoms, then you're no different than what like Hitler was doing in Nazi Germany. When they started taking away, you know, you're only gonna be able to be, you know, of this race, you're only gonna be able to be of this religion, you're only gonna be able to be of that. You've lost what the country stands for.
And I don't think it would do any good. I think
they're
if you take their
hatred.
Flag, it'd be like taking their guns. They're gonna get it somewhere else, or they're gonna worship it somewhere where they can. It'd be like trying to take your Bible away, and they will be doing that pretty soon because they're saying it's a book of hatred because it teaches that. Hate against homosexuality. And they will be trying to take our Bibles away from us. But we will find ways to read our Bibles and have our Bibles and to preach and teach the Word of God. We will. And it's the same thing. You can't take it away from them. I don't want to take it away from them. But I do want anybody who hurts my family or hurts anybody, I want the system or the justice system that, I mean, I don't really believe in it anymore. They say it's one of the finest in the world, but it's like I said, the Liberty Bell's got a crack in it. And a lot of people are slipping through those cracks. We're being destroyed by the symbolism of America, you know? And that's just what I think. But I'm not trying to take away anything. I'm just saying, hey, you know what? You guys have been slaughtering us for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give us, you know, what you know, our share, our 40 acres and a mule.
Reparations.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, gee, right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that at all. I believe that we need to work hard. I think that we need to get right. I think that we need to stop acting stupid like the girl in the bikini that the cop was you know.
At
where
the party.
Was that at?
I don't know. Are you talking about the
yeah,
party?
Yeah, the pool party.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I think that she should have set her butt down, did what the officer said. I don't think the guy that ran up behind the cop and did whatever he was going to do, the man should have pulled his gun because he doesn't know if that kid was going for his gun. He does not know. And I side with the cop on that one because if the police come, they don't have a right to bully and stuff. But if they give you a command, listen to them. And that's this guy that just killed all those people. What did he do when the police got there? He cooperated with them. Okay? So, I mean, that's what he has in his favor. He's not stupid. What do black people do? They want to act all bad and do this and do that and say, well, you know what? I got my rights. No, you don't. You don't have your rights. You got the right for that police to go upside your head with a stick. That's what the rights, those are the rights you have. So shut your mouth and do what you need to do to survive. But we don't want to do that.
Well, let's shift gears back and talk about Father's Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, this is about Father's Day because that young lady that was acting up at the pool, she has a father, I'm pretty sure, or hopefully, that she has somebody in her life that did not teach her the right way, in my opinion. And then the kids are getting all wild and crazy and this. Where are their parents at and why are they acting like that?
Well, I heard an interesting fact on the news. They were saying about how Mother's Day, they spend so much more money on Mother's Day than what Father's Day gets spent on. And I forget it was how many millions of dollars and stuff. And I got to thinking about, well, you know, what some of the reasons might be. And it dawned on me that so many fathers don't stand up and take responsibility of their kids. Mothers don't always have that option, you know, unless CPS or something comes in and takes their children away. Mothers have their kids. You know?
Well, that's kind of a broad blanket statement making here.
Well, I'm just saying, I didn't say all fathers. I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying all mothers.
No, I'm saying all mothers. I'm saying, though, most of the time, mothers have their children with them. They raise their children. So their children feel a loyalty or feel whatever to moms, yeah. And they look after them. Where so many children, their dads are in and out of their lives or whatever. So they don't, you know, there isn't always a father there. So when it comes down to wanting to celebrate something, kids relate so many times to their mother because that may have been the only person they had in their household. Mm-hmm. So it made more sense to me on why there would be more money spent on Mother's Day than necessarily on Father's Day because there's probably more mothers in children's lives than there
I'm
is fathers.
I'm just saying, too. You usually know who your mom is, but you might not necessarily know who your dad is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You may not have had a man in your life growing up. So the mom is who you know you relate to because there's a mom there most of the time. There's not always a father there. So, you know, it made sense on why it wasn't just that, oh, we spend more money on the women than we do on the men. Well, maybe there's more mothers.
That's kind of what OG was hitting on last week about Father's Day, that there are a few good men that are trying to do the right things in those areas, but it's really few and far in between that the men are standing up, like you're saying. They're very passive and they're, you know, having these kids and not taking responsibility. And that's why I think a lot of not just the black race or culture are really suffering for it, but Latinos, white, everybody nowadays are suffering for these things.
Well, and you know when Father's Day actually became an official holiday?
Mm-mm. When a mother said?
No. It said Father's Day started off like in the 1910 when Mother Day became the holiday, but it didn't become an official holiday because it actually died out in the 20s. It was became popular in the 60s. And in 1966, Lyndon B. Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June Father's Day, but it didn't become cemented into a holiday in law until 1972 when Nixon sent it in. So it's not even been around that long.
Yeah. We need to go ahead and close up. I'm going to say that we are never more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating. Thank you for tuning in to
Positive Perspective.
We were supposed to say it all the time. Oh. Positive Perspective.